It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferris. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we'll find out how domestic abuse can escalate and how cases of abuse are treated in the legal system. First, Rachel Vasquez joins me now because it's the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end membership drive. You count on WPR for in-depth discussions. It's your support that keeps these conversations going strong. Your gift right now makes a big difference both this year and as we head into 2022 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All right, Rob, I have the latest numbers hot off the presses. We heard from 7 donors last hour. Thank you so much to everyone who gave. This hour, our goal is 10 gifts.
Help pay for the programs you rely on every day when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might think Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars. Well, we do. We get funding from the federal government and from the state, but it really is voluntary listener contributions that make up the largest source of funding for WPR programs.
That means your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. Now that you know how important you are, make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And take advantage of a really cool opportunity we have this drive. You can provide hunger relief in your area. Ask for one of the food bank thank you gifts with options of $10 or $20 a month.
Alliant Energy is partnering with us right now. They're matching every meal given through the food bank thank you gifts. That can mean an extra 12,500 meals for your community. Increase your impact with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, when you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, it makes driving, working, cooking, whatever you're doing, a different experience, a much better experience.
And your support makes WPR possible. It turns ordinary activities into extraordinary ones. Your life is better with WPR in it, so give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It is so easy. All we need is your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
It ends up taking just a few minutes to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. Those few minutes then fund your daily listening. Your support right now really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just about 50 minutes left in this hour, and we are looking for 10 more people to join in, to step up and join the WPR community. You make WPR possible and Central Time possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, here's an added bonus for supporting the programs you love. Your donation enters you into a drawing for a year-long subscription for NPR-inspired coffee and wine. Wait for it, along with some Wisconsin cheeses. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Get entered when you do. Sustainers, if you're already making those ongoing monthly gifts, you are automatically entered.
And hey, if you are not a sustainer, there's still time to do it right now. It is so easy to set up. It's just monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And when you do it, you provide ongoing support for the programs that you love, programs like Central Time, and you get automatically entered into the drawings we have during our member drives.
Amy in Wausau says WPR has amazing balanced programming, and Deborah in Madison says WPR has well-researched, balanced news reporting. Thank you so much, Deborah and Amy, for your gifts and the kind words. How about you? What do you appreciate about Wisconsin Public Radio? Put some dollar value on it and make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. You rely on us on Central Time for news, for information, for interesting conversations, entertainment, all of it, day in and day out. And we rely on you. So we need your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Can't do it without you. Make your gift. We really do count on you to support the conversations you count on hearing each and every day. Go online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. This is Central Time. The criminal background of the Waukesha Parade attack suspect has been well documented, with a history of domestic abuse and other violent charges. Studies have shown that mass shooters also tend to have histories of domestic violence. We're learning more about how abuse can escalate into even more serious violence and how the criminal justice system handles these cases. Danielle Romaine Dagenhart is an associate professor in the Department of Criminal Justice and Criminology at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Danielle, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me here.
Danielle, we probably all have an idea in our minds of what constitutes domestic abuse. In the eyes of the law, though, what rises to the level of a chargeable, a prosecutable offense when it comes to domestic violence?
So most of the things that would rise to the level of being a chargeable offense would be something related to physical violence or violent crime in nature, perhaps threatening of violent crime. And occasionally you'll see property destruction as well, or trespassing on someone's private property when they're not allowed to be there.
And I know there are concerns that an initial incident of domestic abuse or domestic violence might be a predictor, both of more of the same or maybe even more severe domestic abuse, and even in some cases of public violence. I know this is a hard issue to research, though. What do we know about what that first instance might mean about future behavior?
Yeah, so one thing to caveat is that not all offenders of domestic violence go on to escalate in their offenses, but those that do, you tend to see a pattern of escalation that's partially related to more of controlling and intimidating behavior, and additionally having more injuries that are present in instances as they continue to escalate.
So when someone has had that first charge of domestic abuse, maybe even before they've gone through a court proceeding and a deal or a conviction or anything like that, what kind of things can, say, a court do to protect the victim, in this case, from being abused again?
Yeah, so if the person or if I should say if the victim or a third party has called the police about an incident, at least in the state of Wisconsin, there's an automatic 72-hour no contact order as the result of the arrest. And then if cases are charged, then there would be an automatic no contact order in place for protecting the victim's safety the duration of the case.
Then after a conviction or a complete plea deal acknowledging some form of guilt, is there a system for protecting the victim after that acknowledgement of guilt?
Yeah. So if the person is on probation, which if it's their first offense of domestic violence, or if they don't have a very extensive criminal record, chances are they will be on probation. That no contact order typically extends to the duration of probation, so that while the person is serving the sentence in the community, that the victim can still feel a sense of safety. Anyone who is incarcerated, whether for a jail sentence or a prison sentence for domestic violence, typically they're notified prior to the release of the defendant.
How are those enforced, those no contact agreements?
Yeah, so they're just contingent on the case, which means if the case gets dismissed, the no contact order ends. If the defendant is violating the no contact order, it's really up to the victim or potentially a third party that has solid evidence to come forward to the prosecutor to let them know that the defendant has been trying to obtain contact, whether if it's that they're living back with the victim, if they're trying to contact them through like social media or texting or phone calls, or even coming to the person's residence or place of employment.
Now I want to get into trying to figure out when that domestic violence incident can be a predictor of wider public violence. I mentioned the Waukesha parade attack suspect, studies that show a large proportion of mass public shooting perpetrators have a history of domestic violence. But on the other hand, most domestic violence perpetrators, I guess, don't end up doing this kind of larger scale public violence. What do you look at when you look at trying to suss out that connection?
Yeah, so I think part of it is when researchers have studied domestic violence offenders, we tend to know that they don't specialize. So most offenders aren't just doing domestic violence or violence within the family or the home. So they're doing other kinds of crime. But factors that are more likely to escalate to some kind of mass public violence is typically having other aspects in their criminal history that are indicators of violence or dangerous to public safety.
Danielle Romaine Dagenhart is with us, associate professor in UW-Milwaukee's Department of Criminal Justice and Criminology. We're talking today about domestic violence and its link to other kinds of violence, including mass casualty attacks like the Waukesha parade incident. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think there's a need for the criminal justice system to handle domestic abuse differently? If so, what would you change? Does the bail system need to be reformed? If so, how? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Right now, we're picking up the conversation with Danielle Romaine Dagenhart. She's an assistant professor at UW-Milwaukee in the Department of Criminal Justice and Criminology. She's with us today talking about domestic violence and the criminal justice system, how it treats domestic violence cases and tries to prevent new incidents in the future. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about how domestic violence is treated in the legal system? Have you or someone you know, if you're willing to share the story, survived domestic abuse? How did the system work or fail to work? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Danielle, are there systems out there? We hear in some communities with drug charges, for example, drug courts where people go and the goal is not so much punishment, but trying to prevent future crimes, future arrests. Is there anything like that? Treatment options to prevent that first offender from committing future acts of violence?
Yes. In fact, in Milwaukee County, they have domestic violence courts that essentially are problem-solving courts, where the main focus is both victim safety and offender accountability combined with offender rehabilitation. And across the nation, there's over 200 domestic violence specialty courts that take that kind of an approach. It's kind of similar to drug treatment court, but given the nature of domestic violence, it's a little bit more focused on accountability. So taking accountability for one's actions and potentially reducing recidivism.
Potentially. Do we have enough of these in place and enough of a time period to have a track record on whether these things work?
So there have been some evaluations done across multi-sites and individual sites. And the findings are relatively mixed on preventing recidivism. There are some practices that I think are a little bit more promising, but unlike what we see with drug treatment courts, there's not necessarily a best practices guide out there that's truly evidence-based on what kinds of factors need to be in place, how to interact with the defendant, how to interact with the victim, so that you really do reduce recidivism.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Patrick is with us in Madison. Patrick, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Patrick?
There was a book published in 2018 by the psychologist David Buss called When Men Behave Badly that talks about this subject of domestic abuse. One of the things he talks about is what's called the dark triad of personality traits, which includes narcissism, Machiavellianism, and psychopathy. What I was wondering is these studies about this dark triad of personality traits that are predictive of domestic abuse. To what extent has the justice system sort of evolved based on our understanding of those personality traits?
Interesting. Patrick, thanks for the call. In a court system, Danielle, is there this sort of psychological evaluation of a domestic abuse suspect?
Not in at least Milwaukee County. There might be in other domestic violence problem-solving courts across the country. But typically, there might be a risk assessment during pretrial and even preceding sentencing that mainly looks at risk of recidivism more generally, not necessarily looking at that triad specifically.
Thanks for the call, Patrick, at 800-642-1234. I wanted to get into the bail system, Danielle. There have been arguments for reducing cash bail. And when it comes to domestic violence, I've seen arguments that, hey, maybe it's not the monetary cash bail that's so important, but the condition side of things that we should be focusing on more. Do you have thoughts on that part of the equation?
Yeah, I think right now with COVID still lingering, it's a little bit more challenging for courts to make sure that defendants for domestic violence cases in particular are adhering to the conditions that are set on them. So some jurisdictions still haven't been doing pretrial sobriety testing. And we know that in a decent number of cases, the defendant and or the victim were using substances, whether alcohol or drugs, prior to the offense. So if you're not holding offenders accountable, pretrial release, it might set the offender up for a situation of repeating an offense while still awaiting adjudication for that first offense.
Now, for people who are victims of domestic violence, do you know what kind of, are there resources out there in your area or elsewhere in the state that you might point people toward?
Yeah, there's some great resources out there. Because I'm from Milwaukee, I tend to know more about that area in particular. But Sojourner Family Peace Center is a really great resource for survivors of domestic violence. There's also the Women's Center in Waukesha. Even police departments are starting to have specialty like liaisons that aren't sworn officers, but their whole purpose is to provide a safe space for survivors of domestic violence to come forward, to get connected to services. So there are definitely resources out there.
And as we wrap up just in our last minute, are there changes you'd like to see at any level in the legal system that you think could help prevent future acts of violence?
Yes. I think it's a really huge issue to tackle. One of the things I think is to have a stronger connection, almost like a wraparound kind of approach to offenders, especially if it's their first offense and they're coming through the legal system. Sometimes I think there's a little bit less accountability when judges aren't aware of if they're being compliant with conditions of release or if they're being compliant on probation, if they're having contact with the victim and they shouldn't be. So I think a little bit more oversight, but also wraparound of services and connecting to different kinds of services tailored to the individual needs of the offender can go a long way.
Danielle, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Danielle Romaine Dagenhart is an assistant professor in the Department of Criminal Justice and Criminology at UW-Milwaukee. She was with us today talking about how violence can escalate in cases of domestic abuse and how that risk is treated in our legal system. Coming up, some court watchers say the U.S. Supreme Court may be ready to overturn the right to an abortion. We talked to an expert on reproductive law about the arguments yesterday in the Mississippi case at the center of it all. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end membership drive. Rachel Vasquez is with me. WPR is listener-supported. Your gift right now will ensure the programs you rely on have a strong start in 2022. You make WPR programs possible as we head into a new year when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The clock is ticking down. We've got 30 minutes left in this hour just about, and we are looking for 8 more people to join in. Your gift right now is so important because when you give, you support the programs that you rely on every day.
Thank you so much if you've already given. If not, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In that last segment, we learned about domestic abuse and its link to other kinds of violence. I thought it was such an informative conversation, and that's an example of what Central Time really does best. We go beyond the headlines, trying to give you a deeper understanding of the stories that you hear about every single day. These are the kinds of conversations you can count on from Central Time.
WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
Sustaining members give vital and stable support for WPR. If you are a sustaining member, thank you so much for your ongoing support. And hey, if you haven't become a sustainer yet, you can do it right now.
As a sustainer, you'll make ongoing automatic monthly donations for your bank account or your credit card. It's easy to set up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll feel really good every time you listen, knowing that your support is always current.
We know that you care a lot about making communities better. Maybe you help out at the local school, pick up litter in your neighborhood. Maybe you cook a meal for your friends or family who need your support. Well, your financial contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio makes the community a better place too.
Your investment, together with donations from others, makes the news, talk, and music on WPR available to everyone. We're proud to be an important part of the Wisconsin community, and in large part, that is thanks to you. Join in now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, and we want you to pick a level that works for you. Maybe giving a dollar a day is what works for your budget. When you think about it, a dollar a day is a great value. It's less than a cup of coffee or a soda or even a day of cell phone service.
That dollar a day comes out to $30 a month. You could set it up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or charge it to your credit card. Make your gift right now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Still about 30 minutes left in this hour, and we need 8 more people to step up to join in. Join Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 ensures a bright future for the programs that you love.
Choose one of the food bank gifts. When you give $10 or $20 a month, Alliant Energy is partnering with us. They'll match every meal raised through the food bank thank you gift up to $5,000 worth of meals. Ask for that gift, get it matched at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It is so easy to set up, just convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. You can get started right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks so much for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. We really do appreciate it. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, an expert on reproductive law joins the show to talk about what we heard in oral arguments yesterday at the U.S. Supreme Court in a case that could restrict access to abortion across the U.S. I'm Rob Ferret with Rachel Vasquez. Now it's the year-end member drive here on the Ideas Network. Your financial support is the foundation for all the great conversations you enjoy here every day. Make your tax-deductible year-end gift now for 2021 at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
When we have 6 more people join in the next 25 minutes, we will meet our goal. Help us get there, though. These hourly goals are set up to make sure we have the funding for the programs that you love, that you enjoy, that you tune in for every single day. In order to hear. So make your donation right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, you can get headlines and sound bites in other places, but where do you go for in-depth discussions?
Well, you come here, Central Time and the Ideas Network. Here, you don't just get a 20-second clip or a few minutes of back and forth. You get plenty of time to develop ideas and ask your questions. That's what makes WPR special, what makes the Ideas Network special. WPR is a great source of in-depth information, and your support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes it possible.
Whether you tune in for one favorite program or you find yourself checking in throughout the day or throughout the week, you're a regular listener because you value Wisconsin Public Radio. If you've never given before, start off with a gift maybe of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You're going to love being a WPR member.
This member drive, make a gift for the essential news and refreshing entertainment you enjoy year-round on Wisconsin Public Radio. You'll be entered to win a year of NPR-inspired coffee and wine and a Cheese of the Month Club membership. No contribution is necessary. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Coffee, Wine, and Cheese Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Get entered into that drawing. I can't, of course, win that drawing, but you can share with me if you win. I'll take some of the coffee and the cheese. You can keep all the wine. I'm not a big wine guy. That's all yours. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Rachel Vasquez. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. Whether you give $10 a month or $100, we appreciate and count on your gift.
And hey, maybe you are one of the cool kids. You're already a sustaining member of WPR. Thank you so much if that is you. Your ongoing monthly contributions provide a reliable stream of funding for the programs that you enjoy.
As you think about the things that have added value to your life this year, take an opportunity to increase your monthly support by a few bucks a month. We're happy to help you do it. Takes just a few minutes at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
A $10 a month contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio works out to just 33 cents a day. That's a great value.
Make a gift of $10 a month right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll get a lot back in return.
Looking for about six more people to join in the next 20 minutes. You make WPR possible with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from Gloria in Oconomowoc who says, I love Central Time with Rob Ferret and all the programs on WPR. Gloria, thank you so much and thanks for giving. And Jean in Ellison Bay says, I donate because I like to listen. Well, it doesn't get much simpler than that. Do you like to listen? Then, if you can, make a donation so you can keep listening tomorrow and next year and beyond. You can do it online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And take advantage of our added bonus for supporting the programs that you love, knowing that your donation enters you in a drawing for a year-long subscription for NPR-inspired coffee and wine, along with Wisconsin cheeses. There is no contribution necessary. See WPR.org/drawing for all of the details. Better yet, you are automatically entered when you give any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And hey, sustainers, all of you making ongoing monthly gifts, you are automatically entered.
If you're not a sustainer, you can become one right now. It's easy to set up the monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Then you provide ongoing support while you're listening to the programs you love, and you automatically get entered in these cool drawings we have during these member drives.
The Ideas Network is important to your life, just like Central Time is. That's why you listen every single day, and you are important to us. So take that step of moving from a listener to a member. You can do it right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You count on us for great conversations on the Ideas Network. We count on you to help pay for it. You can do that right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you so much for your support. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. The U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments yesterday in what could be the most significant abortion rights case in decades. The case deals with a Mississippi law that bans abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy, a law that's unconstitutional under the precedent set by Roe v. Wade. But after the arguments yesterday, court watchers say a majority of conservative justices may be ready to overturn or limit that precedent. We're talking about what we heard in yesterday's oral arguments and what it could mean if the court overturned the current right to an abortion. Catherine Kraschel is with us. She's an expert on reproductive law and executive director of the Solomon Center for Health Law and Policy at Yale Law School. Katie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Before we dig into the details, what is your main takeaway after watching yesterday's oral arguments?
I mean, I would say that there's two main takeaways. I would say that one is that the court seems more willing to explicitly overrule Roe than we might have thought before going into the oral argument. And two is just the grave consequences, what that means for women across the country, for pregnant people across the country If the case comes down this way and what it means for abortion access, it's a scary terrain that we'd probably be looking at from state to state.
I know a lot of Supreme Court watchers don't like to predict outcomes based on oral arguments, but it seems like a lot of them are making predictions based on yesterday's oral arguments. What did you hear from justices that might point one direction or another?
Yeah, so I think there's a few of the justices that we had an idea, a more clear idea that where they would come out. So, for example, Justices Breyer, Kagan, and Sotomayor were pretty clear before going into it that they were probably on the side of overturning this abortion ban. It was less clear where Justices Coney Barrett, Justice Kavanaugh, perhaps Justice Roberts might fall. And what we saw play out yesterday at the court, especially I think with probably Justice Coney Barrett and Justice Kavanaugh, was a willingness to entertain, perhaps a greater willingness than might have been expected, I should say, to overrule Roe rather than to take a different question, which was the question originally posed before the court, which was whether or not the viability line that was set in Roe meant that all pre-viability abortions, the abortion law before the court is a 15-week ban, which is about 9 weeks before viability. And so the question was whether or not that viability line would stand such that the 15-week Mississippi law is unconstitutional.
Yeah, can you talk about how that change kind of happened? As you said, the initial argument was we're going to move the timeline here from, I think, 24 weeks to 15 weeks. Correct me if I'm wrong on the exact numbers there. Mm-hmm. The issues may be changing now to Roe versus Wade in its entirety.
Yeah. So there was, you know, there's a lot of discussion right now about the legitimacy of the court. So it would be a big thing for the court to overturn a 50-year precedent like Roe. And there's concern that, you know, doing so sort of removes this veil and shows the court as a very politicized body. So one thing that people have conjectured is that in order to try to maintain legitimacy of the court, that there would be justices mindful of wanting to, even if the end game is to get rid of the right to abortion in the United States, to do so incrementally. So that first step would be the viability line. And then maybe in the, you know, terms to come, there would be a continued chipping away at the abortion right. And based upon some of the questions that particularly, for example, Justice Kavanaugh asked yesterday, it seems that there is a greater appetite for a more explicit overruling in this case. So, for example, Justice Kavanaugh at one point in time, the argument listed off a number of cases that the Supreme Court has previously overruled. The suggestion, of course, being that this would be business as usual if the court were to overturn Roe. And he pointed to, though, a number of cases that were rights-enhancing cases. So, for example, most recently, perhaps the Obergefell discussion that, you know, affirmed a constitutional right to marriage equality, or Brown versus Board that got rid of school segregation. So he listed off a number of cases as if it was business of the court as usual to overturn precedents rather than to stick by the constitutional principle of stare decisis. But the cases that he mentioned really do the opposite of what the court would be doing if it overturns Roe, which is to restrict a woman's liberty interest, their right to bodily autonomy, to decide if, how, and when to be pregnant and to build a family. So, but his raising that list of questions and sort of desire to normalize what the court would be doing if they overruled this 50-year precedent, arguably is a signal that perhaps he is willing to overrule Roe rather than take the sort of stepwise approach that some people thought the court might take, particularly in light of its desire to maintain its legitimacy and not look like a political body.
Talking to Katie Kraschel with the Solomon Center for Health Law and Policy at Yale Law School, looking at yesterday's oral arguments in a key abortion case before the U.S. Supreme Court. Katie, if the court were to go in that direction and, in effect, nullify the Roe versus Wade precedent, it then, as I understand it, would go to states to make decisions about abortion law. What would happen right away? A lot of laws would come into effect in states around the country, right?
Yeah, I mean, that it's a big question mark for some of the states, I should say. For many states, yes, there are some states that have laws on the books that some even explicitly mention Roe, and that if Roe is no longer the law of the land, then, you know, immediately laws go into effect. There are other laws that aren't that explicit, but that are still on the books. So there's a little bit of a question about if they immediately come to life. And of course, you know, usually we think of legislative processes as perhaps being very deliberative and slow, but, you know, there's nothing to stop a state legislature from convening, passing a law, passing it on to the governor, and very quickly we could see abortion rights drastically changed in this country. And yes, each state would do a different type of restriction or a different type of ban, depending upon the state legislature and governor in the state.
Yeah, a state like Wisconsin has kind of a legacy law. I've seen people refer to it, over 170 years old, banning abortion. It was nullified, in effect, by the Roe v. Wade decision, but never removed from Wisconsin's statute. Are you watching states like Wisconsin to see what might happen again, assuming Roe were overturned?
Absolutely. Those are, you know, Wisconsin is an example of a state that we would be watching very closely.
Supposing the court doesn't go to the level of completely overturning Roe, but does uphold the 15-week line from Mississippi, what does that then mean for other states?
I mean, that, you know, we could end up very much, we'd probably end up in very much the same situation, but it would just be a little less clear about the ultimate legality of some of these bans. So the thing with the viability line is that it's a law that under Roe has been a clear demarcation that the attorneys this attorney for the Center for Reproductive Rights, as well as the U.S. Solicitor General yesterday, made very clear defending the viability line, that it's this clear demarcation that we've relied upon. And that, you know, viability was articulated by the court at which the state's interest in maintaining the fetal life was significant enough to allow for that to ban abortions in a way that maintains that acknowledges the woman's liberty right, but also the state's interest in the fetus. And so if they were to uphold this law, it's actually not clear if they could do a number of things. They could uphold the law and say, you know, it's 15 weeks. We don't know what they would say is the relevant or controlling line at that point. They could, you know, issue a limited decision in some way that just says this is just about this one particular ban, in which case it would open, you know, regardless. If there's a new standard that they articulate, there will be a slew of bans and prohibitions put in place, and it'll probably end up in the courts again as all of these different laws go into effect, if they would.
When do we expect this decision to come out?
You know, if it was business as usual at the Supreme Court, probably sometime in June. Oftentimes, even if a case is heard relatively early in the Supreme Court term, the major decisions are often issued around in June.
Katie, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
That was Katherine Kraschel. She's an expert on reproductive law and executive director of the Solomon Center for Health, Law, and Policy at Yale Law School. She was with us today to recap yesterday's Supreme Court oral arguments in a Mississippi case restricting abortion. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end member drive. Rachel Vasquez joins me. Think about how much you've learned from and enjoyed WPR programs in 2021, how much perspective you've gotten on the big issues of the day. With 2022 around the corner, take some action now. Give the programs you count on a strong start in the new year at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Rob, our listeners are showing up for us this hour. They are doing so good. We've just got about 5 minutes left in this hour, and we only need two more people to join in. Just two more people. And if you've already given, a big thank you to you.
If you haven't, give now. Your gift might be the one that puts us over the top for the hour. Go online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift then funds the programs that you count on.
That's right. And we just got to hear about an abortion case in front of the U.S. Supreme Court, something that a lot of people on all sides of the abortion issue are watching really closely, and something that may have a big effect on you and your life, no matter what you believe. We follow the stories that impact you, and that's something you know you can count on from Central Time.
WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
This Drive Alliant Energy is partnering with WPR to help provide hunger relief in Wisconsin. They'll match every meal raised through the food bank thank you gifts up to $5,000 worth of meals.
That means your thank you gift will provide an additional 25 or 50 meals to families in your area. Ask for yours now when you give $10 or $20 a month. Thank you for making a difference for your neighbors and the WPR programs you love at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I would say that if you really enjoy public radio and you listen to it even occasionally, if it does something to enlighten you on a certain point of view, then that is value. It's valuable. But nothing in life that is of value is truly free. Being a sustaining member, even if you just donate a small amount each month, you know, what it would cost you for a cup of coffee is really, really worth it if you believe in what they're doing. And I do. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
You can do that online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. At Central Time, Rob Ferret here with Rachel Vasquez. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. That's why your support during this year-end member drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount to give.
And maybe you listened to WPR in school when you were a kid, or maybe it was in the car with your parents, or maybe you found us on your own as an adult. No matter how you first tuned in, you probably want to see WPR continue. That's because it's an important part of Wisconsin.
If you've never given before, now's the time to do your part. It's never too late to make that first contribution of, say, $10 or $20 a month. It's easy. It doesn't take long. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
It's really easy to spend a dollar or more a day on things that are part of your routine, like maybe a cup of coffee or your favorite snack.
Think about the news, the information, and the inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world you get every day from listening to the Ideas Network. Maybe a dollar a day, $30 a month is just the right donation for you. Sign up right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Support the programs that you enjoy every day.
We need just two more people in the next 5 or so minutes, and then we will meet our goal. Help us meet that goal. WPR is listener powered, and that's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And here's a great way to make an extra difference. Choose one of the food bank gifts. When you give $10 or $20 a month, Alliant Energy is partnering with us. They'll match every dollar raised through the food bank thank you gift up to $5,000. Ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Jennifer in Kenosha says, I support WPR's neutral news coverage on international news. Thank you so much, Jennifer. What do you like about WPR? Make your gift right now in support of what you like about the Ideas Network. Looking for those last two gifts this hour. You could, maybe somebody's on the line already putting us over the top. I don't know. I can't see it. But you could be that person. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Member drives are such an important time to hear from new members. If you've never given before, make today that you the day that you become a WPR member. Give the way that you listen. Maybe try becoming a sustainer by making ongoing monthly contributions. It is so convenient and easy and great for WPR.
Joseph in Green Bay appreciates in-depth reporting that doesn't take sides. Joseph says WPR is a classy and professional operation. Yeah, a lot of the people I work with are classy and professional. I appreciate them for that. You guys never call me classy and professional, do you, Rachel?
I don't know. Not really.
Sure you do. Well, you could start. Hey, you could encourage me to be more classy, I guess, with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are listener supported. That means that you are so important in all of this. Your gift makes the Ideas Network possible. So it's important that you do it right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You count on us for interesting, informative, entertaining conversations each and every day. We count on you to help pay for it, to help make it all happen. Make your very important gift right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thanks so much for your support.